Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Miller. This is the What Drives You podcast, where we focus on your drive. Your drive is working in some areas of your life, producing great success, yet in other areas, maybe not so much. Let's get clarity on what you value, what motives are helping and hurting you, and get you fully into alignment so you're driving further and faster and enjoying the ride. Six steps to being authentic when you're a people pleaser. So we've been talking about belonging, how we're so driven to belong, and that belonging is not merely fitting in. I love that perspective. And thanks to Ritu Bhasin, author of We've Got This, for bringing us the concept. So for all of you who are people pleasers, like me, who don't like conflict, the idea of being authentic can feel scary and feel like, well, to be natural, we're going to have to offend people. I can't hardly embrace that, but I'm learning how to navigate being authentic while not being confrontational. That's not me. So walk with me for a minute. I think I can bring you some understanding and comfort that will let you be you while also being more true to yourself and at peace with others. Here are six steps that I think will help.
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935. And I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste. And right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Six steps to being authentic when you're a people pleaser. I had kids' books when I was a child. I remember the big book of cars and books and Too Much Noise and the book Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, Very Bad Day. I have all three of those books still. My childhood books, we still have them, but we bought new ones because they're falling apart and we got those for our kids as well. But after, you know, dallying with those books, I think I was literally around six when the messages and books that I got were the likes of Zig Ziglar's See You at the Top and Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. That one apparently resonated most with me. Those of you who are people pleasers, I think it does with you as well. Here are the six keys from How to Win Friends and Influence People. They are, number one, smile sincerely and use the person's name. Literally smiling. It's amazing how few people smile. You know, this is a quick episode, great one to have your kids listen to. I had my kids read sections of this book in their youth, but smile. It's so easy to do. It's so rare and it just gets you, it's so valuable. And then use the person's name. It's so seldom that that is done. And I see my guests who know this do it to me, and I do it as well. You hear in a lot of shows us saying each other's names, and I especially try to do that as often as I can without it sounding goofy, but just knowing their name really tunes them in. So that's number one. Number two, encourage the other person to speak. You can just say, ask people questions. Don't just sit there and talk. Stop, ask people questions. One of the, we'll get to a piece of that in just a second. Number three, give honest and sincere appreciation. Okay, that's key because I can do that, turn that on. Just give appreciation, but it's also saying be sincere. People generally feel that. So you can encourage somebody, find something, notice something that you can commend them on. Number four, make the person feel important. This really goes back to number two, encouraging them to speak, ask them questions. Simply giving attention and showing interest makes people feel important. And this is the key phrase. Wow, tell me more about that. I have to think about that because a lot of times I'm not wanting to hear more necessarily, depending on who it may be and what the situation may be. But doing that, if I want them to feel important, want to connect, that's really powerful. Number five, be vulnerable, genuine, and real. That one, I am not a naturally vulnerable person, especially with my feelings. Now I can be. And so I'll talk and share a story or something like that and tell people, you know, kind of be candid and try to have some humility in that and connect with people and try to be real. But that is one where you can share a little bit. I have to work on that one because sometimes I can just put all the focus on them and not share about myself. And if you don't do that a little bit, you don't connect either. Number six, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. That one's pretty basic. Don't gossip. Don't criticize people. Just don't. So I found these six steps. They're like superpowers. I figured that out as a kid, especially in sales or anybody that you want to advocate for you and like you. Use these things. They're killer in opening the door for a relationship, making friends, you know, getting people's advocacy. Now you can do it authentically or not. Charm can be used as a tool, which, and I'll admit I've done that. And if you're trying to de-escalate somebody, and I've been in public environments where somebody's just off and you're trying to de-escalate, using this kind of stuff is killer. And I'm not being super authentic, man. I'm just trying to de-escalate things. If you're trying to make a sale, now hopefully you're never trying to make a sale to sell somebody something they don't actually need. So if you actually believe they need it, you can turn this stuff on and it may not be completely, you know, authentic. You know, you're trying to hopefully remove an obstacle for somebody so they can get something that'll truly help them. But it is a tactic in essence. It can be. But I admittedly, I've taken it too far. Most people pleasers do. And it becomes just a performance and you're not being true to you. And if somebody likes you because of that and you know you're not being authentic, then you're not going to trust them because you know that they're not seeing the real you. Now, you know, again, you don't want to upset or offend anyone. You want to make sure everybody likes you. And if someone doesn't, it eats away at you. For me, it wasn't even all about just some big insecurity or people liking me. It was some baggage. Some of you are going to relate to this. And I struggled with feeling like I'm selfish, kind of self-centered. So I really wanted them to feel like I really care about them. And that was it. Not even so much, I don't have to walk away and they like me, but I want them to think that I cared about them. It's interesting. I thought of myself, I think of myself still as being impatient because that's how I feel. And then I had a daughter and her boyfriend at the time said, and she told me later that he said, I think your dad's the most patient person I've ever seen. As he saw me dealing with, you know, a household of nine, and who knows, maybe we had, you know, 20 people at the house at that time and doing dinners and dealing with everything and kind of a busier than normal life that he had seen. Well, I didn't see it. I didn't see that I'm actually acting out impatience, but I felt impatience. I felt impatient. You get that idea. So it's interesting when we're looking at the performance and we have to separate how we view ourselves and how we're actually acting out there. So this idea of authenticity comes to us. And for people pleasers, sometimes you can't imagine, what is that? Is being authentic just saying what's on your mind? God forbid. If you ever saw the movie Tom Holland starred in, it's called Chaos Walking, sci-fi movie. And in the movie, the males on this planet, whatever they thought, you could hear it out loud. Oh my gosh, God forbid. It made for some funny, you know, moments and for some harsh moments in the movie. It sounds terrible. Well, that's not what being authentic is. It's not just blabbing out what you think. It could still be courteous and respectful. So here's six aspects. You could call them boundaries or steps in dealing with this. Again, being authentic, but being a people pleaser. And I say that people pleaser, it sounds bad, but wanting to be kind and considerate, respectful to people. So number one, be honest most of the time. And what you're really judging though is right here, right now with this person, do I desire a relationship or a real connection? Sometimes you're not. But if you do, you're going to have to be honest. This is hard for me. It's like pulling fingernails if I think I'm going to offend someone, but I got to weigh it. Now, if I don't care and I'm just dealing with an unreasonable person or someone I'm never going to see again, I may just get through it. I may say anything. It's interesting. I saw this meme. You've probably seen it too. It showcases kind of like this businessman talking to this old monk or wise man. And the guy says, what's the secret to eternal happiness? The old man says, to not argue with fools. And the guy says, I disagree. And the guy says, yes, you're right. So sometimes I do that if I don't care. But now I've got to look at it and go, do I really want to connect with this person long term? If so, I've got to be, I can't just perform. It won't work. It's dishonest. Number two, affirm a differing opinion. So if you got somebody you do want to connect with them, they're showcasing a different opinion, try to affirm that. And you can say, God, often you can really relate. You can step in their shoes and do it. Again, this is not my natural thing. I'm thinking about my differing opinion. So this is very hard to me. I'm giving you the steps. Doesn't mean I do it all the time. But you can then share a new perspective, something you've even been pondering. I'll find myself doing that sometimes. I go, man, I hear you and I resonate with that. I've felt that before, or I do feel that sometimes. And yet I also recently had this guest on the show, or I read this book, or I heard this thing, and I'm pondering a different perspective and showcase it like that. But affirm them first. Number three, this one is bigger and bigger to me every day. Avoiding right and wrong talk, black and white talk, good and bad. Judgment, in essence. And so I'm hearing somebody, I do want to connect with them. Maybe they're saying or doing something I'm not totally up to speed with. And instead, though, of framing it right, wrong, black, white, good, bad, I share it as, you know, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Or, you know, here's something that I've found. For me, it produces a little more positivity, a little more life. Maybe it's something that you could try. You know, even looking at faith, man, I hear so much. It's such a struggle that we tend to showcase things so black and white, right, wrong, good, bad in our culture. And even I grew up in a faith that did that way. It was absolute truth. It's belief is what it's called. Well, it's actually called faith because you can't prove it. You may have chosen it as a truth for you, but you can't prove it. I wish that everybody in a pulpit or on a speaker or on stage or sharing would just say, hey, from everything that I have gathered in my research, my literal experience of things, it feels truthful to me, but with taking that all, I have faith in this, and that is what I'm deciding to step forward in. That's what I'm embracing. I have decided to put faith in this. If we would do that instead of showcasing things as right, wrong, good, bad, black, white, man, we would win friends and influence people and be authentic. Number four, I mean, we can't allow injustice. And sometimes I have to look again at the situation and go, okay, am I trying to people please? And really, I'm just trying to protect myself. Now, seldom are any of us in some situation that's really dire, that's really, you know, vital, mortally vital. But again, we got to look at it and go, right now, do I need to step in or do I need to speak up? Is my safety and protection most important, or maybe protecting another person? Man, that's, again, that's hard for me. But then I also have that feeling of justice. I'm not going to let somebody get bullied or get wronged. So, but I got to weigh it. Number five, limit your time if needed. I mean, there are going to be people that you're not going to align with. You know that. You've got friends and family and what. And you also know there's little point in offending. Now, you may need to do that. You may say, gosh, if I'm going to connect with this person, I've got to tell them how I really feel and that what they're doing is offending me or bothering me or I can't really abide by. That's hard for me. And I have to look, and sometimes I have to admit that, man, I don't care enough about the relationship to be honest. And if that's the truth, then that's truth, and admit it to yourself and go, you know what? I'm not going to, cause I don't care enough about that person, that relationship, be honest. But if you do, then you're going to have to be honest and deal with that. Try to be respectful, but deal with your, you know, what's right for you. But if it's somebody you don't care to connect with, you're just biding your time, I just try to limit it or not be with that person anymore. I try to spend my time with people who are going to be respectful, who are going to consider me, and limit my time with other people that aren't. And then number six, we've been talking about this. This was the previous episode, belonging to myself. The more I belong to myself, I have a relationship with myself. I'm confident in myself. I'm okay with myself. I have grace with myself. I have compassion with myself. All this stuff, it's a new language for me. The more I do that, the more I am able to judge my own desire to be authentic with people and how I want to deal with them and the situation. Comes back to just having that relationship with ourselves. Do we have that? And I think a lot of times people pleasers, we're doing that because we don't know anything that we're performing to somebody else's desires. I mean, you can be you. I can be me. We can be authentic. and we can be skillful Jedi masters with still being respectful and kind and considerate. I think with some people, I'm a Jedi. Some I still struggle with, and I'm always a work in progress. But at the end, I'm measuring my level of peace, and I hope you will too. Friends, thanks so much for joining me on this journey. If this resonates with you as a people pleaser, let us know. You can also always email me at kmiller@kevinmiller.co. You can also look at the Drive Tribe at kevinmiller.co at our website, where we continue these discussions as well. Until next time, though, most of all, I hope that this episode, this topic helps you drive further and enjoy your ride. When we fast, we stop eating food and allow our body to repair. The research on the benefits and the reset is profound. The problem is we like food. We're addicted to food. Me too. Missing a meal or a day of eating is terrifying to a lot of people. So here is ProLawn. It's a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. ProLawn is not a diet. It's science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. ProLawn provides a five-day program where you get snacks and soups and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state while taking away the difficulty and mindset of deprivation. I've fasted for 5 days with nothing but water, and my physical and mental state was incredible. My struggle was just wanting to fulfill my habit of eating. It was significant. ProLawn took that away. It's amazing. I feel like I'm cheating, but getting the benefits of fasting. So right now, ProLawn is offering What Drives You listeners 10% off their five-day nutrition program. So go to ProLawnLife.com/Kevin. That's ProLawnLife.com/Kevin for the special offer. Thanks so much for joining me on this journey. I look forward to meeting you in the Drive Tribe community for ongoing discussions about each episode. You can subscribe to the Drive Drop newsletter for weekly updates. Find it all at kevinmiller.co, along with all our social media and video clips. Until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride.